this example of faith. This is in verses 7 through 9. Know then that this is, I always have trouble saying this. Know then that it is those of faith, there we go, who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, quote, in you shall all the nations be blessed, unquote. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham, first of all, in your notes, is as an example. As an example. He illustrates faith. What do we mean by faith? Well, there's the belief kind of faith. I believe in something. But it also has the idea of I trust in something. When we press on our brakes on our vehicles, we're exhibiting faith. It's going to stop our car. I had a car where I did hit the brakes once and nothing happened. It's a little disturbing. But we trust something will happen. In the Bible, though, faith doesn't just have not just the idea of believing in or trusting. It also has the idea of obedience. Obedience. I've used this example before. If I said to you, fire! What would a reasonable person do? We would leave. We would get up out of our chairs and we would go. Oh, well, we still have two songs left to sing in our program today. No, the building's on fire. And the only way you know that is because I said so. So you would be believing and trusting what I said, but also acting upon it. So when we do things in accordance with God's word, we're also exhibiting faith. Well, that's what Abraham did. God says, go, leave your community, leave your people. I'm going to give you a child in your old age. Now, as a result of this faith, Abraham became an example of all who believed. International Critical Commentary says, Abraham believed God and was on that ground accepted by God. Therefore, the sons of Abraham are men of faith. And we could add the daughters as well, using that term generally. It's not a contradiction to all the Old Testament at all. But we become sons and daughters of Abraham. Why? Because God said so. So as they often thought of, well, I have a direct line, a physical line. A Jewish person technically could trace their lineage, their genes, so to speak, all the way back to Abraham. But God says, but his spiritual sons and daughters, God intended to make long time ago, way back in Genesis. He is, in fact, an ancestor of faith. That's your next blank. An ancestor of faith. God said, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, Israel will be blessed. No, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's us. Countries that didn't even exist then. Later in Genesis 18:18, seeing that Abraham shall become great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. This message of salvation, of faith, is now ours too. New Testament, Jesus talked a lot about this. He's talking to his enemies, the people who don't like Jesus very much. And he says to them, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. Well, when did that happen? We're not told. But somehow God told Abraham about Jesus, his descendant. And Paul will get into this at a later message. And he rejoiced and knew that salvation would be available to all peoples. He, Abraham, saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. They picked up stones to stone him and throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. The reason why they were going to stone him is because he called himself God. I am is Yahweh. Abraham saw that. Abraham recognized that too. God said so. All the nations would be blessed. They would become his spiritual children. Finally, this would be Abraham is as a blessing to the Gentiles. If you want a blessing, and I'm not talking about mountains of cash or anything, we're talking about the blessing of Abraham, believe. Abraham remains a prototype or showing how all people, Jew or Gentiles, can fall in line with God's righteousness. We can be acquitted. He's the example for all people, even peoples now that hate the descendants of Abraham. They too can find salvation. So what? How do we apply this? Well, from this whole passage, remember back the correction to them of their doctrine, the false teachers they allowed in. There's another kind of sub-lesson here for us with that aspect of this passage. One is, we have to be willing to, on one hand, hold our doctrines firmly and by God's grace die for them. But on the other hand, we need to hold them with humility. There are things I'm dead sure about. There are some things I'm not quite so sure about. We have to know for sure what we're willing to die for. What we're willing to die for. No one is immune to foolishness, even when it comes to the scriptures and the word of God. And as we go and we learn things and discover things, there are books I've pulled from my personal library from authors I at one time would have called heroes. But I've had to pull them and say, you know what? They're off base. They're off base. Now, on the other hand, you can't just say every little dot of the I and cross of the T's is right. Sometimes there's a little disagreement or maybe we get something wrong. I've gotten stuff wrong and I've had to correct it later. I'm not immune to this at all. But we have to have that firmness on one hand, but yet the humility to say, okay, I may need to be corrected. I think especially as more and more we hear about the coming of Christ, there's just so much vagueness about it that we have to just say, I'm at the point where I'm just saying, whatever comes is coming. All I know is he's coming back. That I know. The details, they might get a little confusing. But in the end, he's coming back. So I could hold on to that. And then in terms of the details, just I don't care what time he comes, just come. Just come. All right, so that's the first part. The Galatian churches needed to have that same idea where they're going to be willing. Not only were they just wrong, they were being foolish. Then again, he talks about how we live our Christian life. Is it going to be by faith, like our initial salvation, or is it by works? There's a lot of folks, and we could slip in and out of this mentality of this check-the-box Christianity. Yeah, I went to church this week. I read my Bible 5 times out of 7 for the week. I gave to the church. I spent this much time in prayer. And the hard part is those are good things. Those are good things. But why? Are we doing them because the Holy Spirit has moved us in that direction? Or because we're trying to be a rule follower or be impressive? God doesn't give us a blank check when we come to faith, but he does promise growth and restoration and peace and eternal reward. When we believe things, we're also believing in his commands. He said, make disciples. Well, for example, we should be then making disciples. That's an act of faith. If he says, love your neighbor, and we do that, we're not just believing God in this kind of great celestial way, but we are obeying him. Remember the fire example? Our obedience to those things to him is also an act of faith. The other thing I'd like us to remember and apply is to rejoice that the gospel came to me. The gospel came to me, and if you believe, it came to you. Guess how much we earned it? None. None. God just so loved the world that he gave his only son. And then when I personalize that, it's almost too much. It's almost too much. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. He's given me his son to pay for my sins. He's given me his son to give me new life, to transform me. Why? I wouldn't give my son or any of my children for anyone. God did that for me. Can't you just worship? Can't you just, as you think and chew on that, and you just, God, I'm almost speechless. Why? Why? God often answers my whys with, because. Okay. But the bottom line is he did that. Let the gospel message for you, let it overwhelm your heart and soul. Earlier in this letter, Paul was even in the introduction part of the letter, the kind of throwaway parts that a lot of people don't even read through, he just goes into a moment of praise because he can't help it. That's a great response. Not just in song and worship on a Sunday morning, but let that fact of the gospel message come upon you. There's a few more things you could worship on there in your notes there, because these are also important, and we will spend more time in them later. We have the Holy Spirit. We are now a child of Abraham by faith, and we are blessed because of that faith. Let's spend some time together praying. If you'd like to pray out loud in our pause and prayer time. First of all, maybe God's been showing you that you've been listening to false ideas that add to the gospel. There's plenty of them out there. Other teachers as well that we can, or maybe we need to be critical, a little more critical with some of our favorites. Confess that to him. Maybe trust the Holy Spirit to complete your faith regarding. And you fill that in. That's a personal idea. Maybe there's been a sin you've been stumbling over and over again since you were a kid. And says, God, I'm going to trust you for that change in my heart. Maybe you've read all kinds of books, you've done all these different kinds of activities. And just as an example, let me give you this example. Some of you know I've been really struggling with sciatica pain over the past, it's been over a year. And I've been trying a lot of different things. You know what God said? He said, have you prayed about that yet? No. I've taken drugs, I've gone to doctors, I've had procedures. And I said, all right, God, I'm going to trust you for healing for my sciatica pain. And he might say, no, my power is perfected in weakness. You're just going to keep living with that and worship and serve me despite that pain. Okay, but point is, let's go to him first for that those things we keep stumbling over, those maybe there's an area where we're having trouble trusting God. Or maybe there's something God's going to call us to do and sacrifice. I remember days where I said, I will never go overseas. I'll never do that. I had to trust him for that. Or God's calling us to give something else up. I don't know. Again, it's your blank to fill in. But you know you need the Holy Spirit's power for that to happen. And the Holy Spirit's, all right, yeah, let's go. Let's do this. Finally, since I believe, I will worship the Father because he has made me a son or daughter of Abraham. Born again. We sang about dry bones. That story is an example of what God does for us. We were dead, rotting corpses before Jesus. Made alive. Absolutely mind-blowing, but true. So if you'd like to pray out loud, go ahead today at this moment. If not, that's absolutely fine too, but just pray with us. Let's seek his face. God, I confessed I've tried to follow rules, and these weren't necessarily bad things to do at all, but I was relying on my flesh, relying on steps to take rather than trust you for seeing character change and heart change in me. And Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you are the one who does that. And certainly you may have even brought me along that same path of what I did as a rule follower, but Lord, my trust was in there, and that's kind of the rub, isn't it? Am I trusting in rules, or am I trusting in you? And I am, even just the past week or so, you've been reminding me of things I've known for years that you called me, you have given me the sacrifice of Christ, that I might have the righteousness of God, that I might be a son of Abraham and have your righteousness? Me? Yet it's true. God, I am filled with awe. I am filled with wonder, because I wouldn't have been as patient. I wouldn't have been as gracious. And ultimately, Lord, that's where our faith is, not in that act of belief or signing our name on a card. Faith is in you and what you have done for us. All members of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are part of that journey, that miracle. And so, God, thank you for that, for restoring that awe in my heart this week, almost to the point of not even being able to speak. It was so hard to, not hard, but overwhelming to think about with great joy. And so I worship you. I proclaim you. And it's from that foundation. I want to serve you and love you and obey you and follow you for the rest of my days and for all eternity, because you've made that possible too. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. All righty. Thank you, my friends. Just a few reminders as our worship team comes back up. On October 4th, we are still planning our Meet the Candidates event, 10 to noon. Again, most of the people that will be there are Carn City School Board candidates. I might still get a few RSVPs, and so come meet them. Come see, ask them questions. If you're not sure what to ask, talk to each other. Hey, what are you going to ask? What do you think is important? If you're not sure something from a scriptural point of view, talk to each other. Ask me. We'll be happy to have those discussions with you, and that'll be here. I could still use one or two people to help that day, just in the hospitality side of things, making sure we have coffee and we'll get some snacks here as well, and just to be around for that. And be praying for this. Again, in this era we live in, there is always this possibility of political sparks flying. We don't want that. I don't want that. I want people to come and get information. So when they vote or don't vote for someone in November, they have good reasons. And they know, oh yeah, I remember, I met them and they believe this. And so those names aren't mysteries to us when we are voting in November. Again, spread the word. This is public. All other churches and everything have been invited, and others in other areas too. We are inviting anyone who wants to come and do that. And the next thing is, I'd like you to pencil something in. It's not firmed in yet, but we're trying to work out something called a progressive dinner with the school BIC club, Believers in Christ, and we're also working with other churches too on this as well, where the students will go to various places, whether a church or a home, and they'll have a the salad. They'll have an appetizer. They'll have the main course. And we haven't done this in years, and the students always loved it. And so I say pencil it in because it's not completely firmed up yet. But be praying. Does God want me to be part of that and do that myself? Because we're going to ask the host to also tell something just for a few minutes. The kids aren't going to get preached at for hours on time. But just, here's what God's teaching me, and I want you to know that. It's the older folks training the younger ones. And so November 15th is the Saturday we're looking at. All right? And then once we get to a point where we could start saying, okay, who wants to do the dinner or that, the other thing, then I'll let you know as well. We're looking at getting not one of the really big buses, but one of the smaller ones. I don't know, half ones. I can't remember what they...
Minibus.
And that'll just actually help us with some, frankly, liability issues. But your place needs to be big enough to accommodate that. So if you live in a home or an area where they can't get that little minibus in and out, thank you, but that's going to be just a practical thing for that. So November 15th. If you sign up for our D group, the books are here. They're available. They're $12 each. You don't have to do that today. If you're writing a check, please write that out for Zion. And those groups will start. There's two opportunities, Sunday morning and then at 8 a.m. or here, or at the Gibsons at 6 p.m. That's a potluck. The Gibsons group is pretty big already. So if you want to be part of that, huh? Lord, yeah. Okay, I'm just... Thanks for backing me up on that. Okay. But we're glad for the big group. But I'm just saying, if you're thinking, okay, Sunday morning has a little more space. How's that? Okay? And then finally, one other thing. I say this as a requirement, like it's a bad thing. It's not. God has helped me and sustained me through this, but it is part of my responsibilities that Zion puts on our pastors, and that's I get away for some retreat time, some time alone with the Lord. I've been putting it off and putting it off just due to schedule issues. I'm doing it this week, and so while I'll be available if there's an emergency or something, I just won't be here. I'm going to be towards Harrisburg. And then there's a conference. I'm going to a conference I'm looking forward to as well, and be back on Saturday. So just so you're aware of that. So y'all need to go visit Dick yourselves. Go see Dick Stryker and bless him for that. Let's continue in our worship.